Welcome in to Family Devotions with Religionless Christianity. We're so grateful that you're here and we're happy that you're joining us as we continue our walk through the book of Genesis, today discussing Genesis chapter 18. Our chapter this week opens with these wonderful words, "Then Yahweh appeared to him." The pre-incarnate Christ, along with two angels, appears before Abraham to open our chapter. Abraham then runs to meet the Lord and pleads to serve him. Christ accepts, and Sarah sets about to prepare a meal. As the meal is being prepared, the Lord tells Abraham that his time of waiting, again, nearly 25 years at this point, was ending, that by this time, the next year, Abraham and Sarah would have the promised child. At this, we read of a very human thing. Sarah, who overhears the conversation from inside the tent, laughs about what she's heard. She remarks to herself, "After I am worn out, shall I have this pleasure, my Lord being old also?" Now, this is not the response we want to have at the Lord's word, but this is an oftentimes human response. You know, we so often fail to see beyond the physical. And this was not so much a complaint against God on behalf of Sarah, but just a natural thought. Though she does fail ultimately, after making this remark, the Lord apparently hears her or knows her thoughts and questions Abraham on what she said, and Sarah lies, saying she didn't say that. And it's interesting that the Lord does nothing in response to this lie other than to correct it, saying she did in fact say it. You know, maybe the shame and the guilt of being corrected by the Lord in person was enough to correct Sarah. The Lord then turns his attention towards Sodom and Gomorrah, determining to go there in order to see the wickedness for himself. Abraham interrupts the Lord, however, with a question, or what would turn out to be a series of questions. The Lord sends the two angels on ahead of him and entertains Abraham's questions. Abraham then petitions the Lord on behalf of the Lord's mercy, starting out by asking that if 50 righteous men be found in the city, would the Lord spare it? Abraham then proceeds to narrow down this same question, going from 50 at the start all the way down to just 10 with the final question. With each question, the Lord responds that he would indeed spare the entire city if those righteous men were found. After this questioning, the Lord departs. And the point that stands out to me is Abraham pleading with God on behalf of his mercy. In verse 23, Abraham asks, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked?" And I read a quote earlier in the week during our daily shorts from Thomas Mallory, and I'll just quote it again here because I think it's fitting. Mallory said, "Oh, what admirable condescension is this in the great God! Oh, what wonderful mercy and grace is this, that such a poor, vile creature should have liberty to speak to him, to parley with him." And the point I gleaned at the time is that the only reason a poor and vile creature, such as Abraham or ourselves, would think we should speak with God is because we know God. Abraham knew what kind of God he served, and so he felt confident, even being poor and vile, that he could come to him. And how we come to God in prayer says a lot about how we view God and what we know of him. Abraham knew God was merciful, so when he thought of him not showing mercy, when that crossed his mind, it confused Abraham. Do you see God as merciful? Do you see him as loving, as your provider and your protector? Do you see him as someone who's aware of you and concerned for you? If you do, then you'll have confidence and joy in your prayers. If you don't, then your prayer life is probably difficult, maybe even ineffective and unfruitful. So learn from Abraham here. Find out who God is and how he views you. Then come to the throne of grace confidently, joyfully, and with expectation. The Apostle Peter reminds us here to cast our cares on him because he cares for us. And praise God that he cares for us.
And when Abraham is asking God over and over if he would spare the city, he asks him a total of 6 times. And I just read that and think about how Abraham, he knew how merciful God is and how patient he is with us. He knew God would be merciful and came to him, acknowledging that he himself is dust and ashes. He comes to him in complete humility, knowing the vast contrast between who he is and the holiness of God, but also the great mercy of God. The fact that Abraham already knew God's plan to destroy the city and had the boldness to ask God to not do what he determined to do, even though God's righteousness demands justice, is just a point we should consider. So God delays his wrath on wicked people on account of his people being among them. And this reminds me of the parable of the wheat and the tares in Matthew 13. So contemplating all the blessings we enjoy in such a wicked society, the wicked enjoy the blessings of God now, and that is only because God is being patient with sinners who he chose for salvation. The seed that the Son of Man has sown is still to grow up and bear fruit. The gospel that goes forth is the power unto salvation for those that have ears to hear. The patience and goodness of God is being demonstrated in this time. All people who have sinned against our holy God have experienced God's goodness and patience, yet many reject him. And when Abraham is asking God about the righteous that may be in that city, what does he mean by righteous? Because all people have sinned. But I think the difference in the righteous and the unrighteous is the same today. Yes, both have sinned, but the righteous are those who acknowledge their sin and plead to God on behalf of his mercy, because that is what God has revealed to us, so we will come to him for forgiveness. If you have heard of his mercy on sinners and you believe it is true, then come to him and ask to be forgiven. He will not turn any sinner away, no matter how sinful their past was. And if you have heard of his mercy but refuse to come to him, as he is the only way to be saved through the sacrifice of Jesus and his righteousness imputed to us, then that is the height of pride. To see your desperate state you are in and choose your sin over God is the height of foolishness as well. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation?" So if you know of this great salvation, pay attention to it. Do not neglect it.
And we'll end today with our prayer from the Scottish Psalter of 1595. Praying today from Psalm 145. It reads, "Thy mercies, Lord, are above all thy works. Faithful art thou in all thy promises, and just in all thy doings. Be a merciful Father unto us for Christ Jesus thy Son's sake. Govern our ways, for we are weak. Strengthen us, for we are frail. Refresh us, for we are famished, and plentifully bestow thy good gifts upon us. Defend us from the snares of Satan, our old enemy, that he tempt us not out of the right way, but that we be evermore ready to praise and glorify thy holy name through Jesus Christ. Amen."
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.